Donnie, is it on?
Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Oregon Board of Education. We'll have the Pledge of Allegiance. The moment of silence this evening is for Phyllis Fry, who was a star paraprofessional.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. May we have the roll call?
Certainly. Mr. Shea?
Present.
Mr. Kennedy?
Here.
Mrs. Miller?
Here.
Mrs. Molnar?
Here.
Mr. Zavisky?
Here.
Please turn off all electronic devices during the meeting. May I have a motion to adopt the agenda as written?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call?
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. And next on the agenda, we will have our Clay High School government report. Kelly Jo?
Karen.
Sorry.
It's one or the other.
It's one or the other. Long day, sorry. Apologize.
Is that on? Dawn, is that, did you leave that on?
Just tap it. It records it.
Today I'm filling in for Ms. Speaker, who's on the line. So currently Speaker is working on preparing a report that represents the student value of CHS for the board as was requested. We are interviewing these students and working with them in the coming week during Saturday at school time. We intend to give a short presentation next month at the board meeting. Additionally, the town hall is coming up this Thursday of this week, the next one.
Is that during stride?
Yes, it's during stride. We also have two events in the immediate future. The first is Peace Cat Town, which is Eagle Isle, but we renamed it to promote the fact that it's not the same. So, and like, more chance for people to vote. We also have Clash of the Classes coming up on Friday, March 29th, for 2 weeks. And we have the Acute Success on Student Health, and we're having a lot of fun, basically just in the back for students to come for the meetings and with each other.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good job. So next month you're bringing survey results to us, that's what you're saying? Okay. There are no recognitions. Jenny Selmick, we were going to recognize her. We want to certainly publicly congratulate on her retirement. She is a secretary at Wynn Center, so she was not able to make it tonight.
Okay. Do you have any cards, anyone?
I have nothing down here.
No public participation. Treasurer's report.
Thank you, Mrs. Molnar. I passed a quick little report out. Reviewing True Cash, it was all sent out to you previously. The major difference in our real estate taxes is that we didn't receive Lucas County last year distributed the first half of 2017 in February of 2018, and this year we didn't receive the first settlement of 2018 until really it was the first week in March. So it just looks womp or jawed, but it's just a timing difference. Property tax allocation, the reduction 159,000 represents half of the reduction we expect from the state of Ohio. Hold harmless. Remember, it was reduced. Being reduced by around $330,000 this year. That's part of the reduction of those monies. And on your report, I regret all the files were put away, and it's a minus 0.56%. I'm sorry, that percentage is zero, but that it's correct in the bottom, but I will fix that for the items that are up on the website. I have not adjusted this yet on the true cash report, but I want to give you a warning that next month and in the upcoming months, we heard from the city administrator, Mr. Beasley, that the second natural gas plant will break ground in June of 2019. Okay, that's the best estimate at this point. It just keeps getting pushed back. I'm going to pull it out of the 2019 estimates for revenue. It's usually better to be a little bit low on revenue than high, and put it in the 2019-20 with the hopes that we will receive it then. It's just when he says, oh, it's going to happen in June, it just keeps putting pushed back. So it just makes me a little nervous when June 30th is our year end. So just a heads up, and if you have major disagreement with that, we can let it ride. It's usually better to be a little more conservative with revenue and push it a little bit. Hopefully we'll still get it. Minor expenses as a whole are up 3.69%. Three miscellaneous points, just so you're aware of them. Moody's rating, they reviewed it again, and we were left at the same point, AA3. It's the median rating for districts across the nation. As part of having a bond, we have an annual disclosure report. That's what I'm working on next. Deadline's April 1st, so that it could be filed by April 15th. Dawn worked with me briefly over break, and I haven't had a chance yet, but she gave me the steps. There were some changes to uploading financials onto the website. I will get that done. Please be patient, but we're really behind on that, but I didn't have instructions. Didn't they change something? I don't know. There were some things that changed, and so I'm not as, wasn't intentional. It's just it'll happen hopefully this week is the whole goal, but we are behind, and we'll get this up on the website, so we're keeping people informed. Unless there are questions, that is my report.
You have a motion to accept the report, please.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion or questions? Roll call.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Leadership update? Ms. Hughes?
Academic ability is a subject, reading, math, science, or social studies. Creative thinking ability are the kids with a above 1 point higher average IQ on a national IQ test, but they also are the type that like to take the toasters apart and maybe not get them back together, the STEM kids and pre-engineer types. And then we have the visual and performing arts ability, which are your theater, music, drama, athletes, those kinds of things. So we have to do all this identification. That's a state law. Everything we do is to the T by the state. There's no exception by whose last name or 1 point score or anything like that that you hear from other that happens around. So we don't do that. And then with this, you can read the rest of that first page. I won't read it to you, but at the bottom it tells us our service plan. So there's an identification plan, there's a service plan. We service, starting this year now, our third grade population is a self-contained classroom just like our fourth grade. It's for cognitive only, and that's because the Ohio rule changed last summer that we now have to identify in second grade, which means we're serving our third graders instead of the enrichment program that we had. It's now officially gifted, and they have to have an IQ score, which I don't agree with because they're too young, but I follow the state law. Okay, next page, you can see we have a fourth grade gifted self-contained room that's going well. That's Robin Sneed. That's great, terrific, wonderful. Can't say enough about it. Fifth through eighth grade, we have language arts resource rooms. Jackie Stanton and Leanne Kessling are the teachers. They know what they're doing. They're doing it well, contrary to what some parents might say. once in a while, and the higher up you go in the grade, the more difficult it becomes. And Leanne Kessling does take the brunt of a lot of parents who want enabled, who want their children to get straight A's and do very little work, which we don't do. So we're doing the right thing, she's doing the right thing, but the pushback is because of that. They're used to, think about it, in elementary schools, our bright kids are getting straight A's, getting all the bells, whistles, but they're not really having to struggle. And when they finally hit Leanne, I would say seventh grade, it becomes a rude awakening. So I'm proud of our programs, but yes, we do have all kinds of the same things. We have parent issues that want what they want and so forth. But we're holding the line for rigor. Okay. Grades 9 through 12, we have honors, humanities, and AP classes. And then at 9 through 12, I do college and career planning with them, personally with the kids who are interested and want to have my services. And so that's what goes on here in Oregon schools with the gifted department in a real brief nutshell. Okay, the numbers. There's 419 identified. That's either cognitive, math, reading, science, social studies, creative, or visual performing arts, and you can see those numbers are broke down for you. We serve 350 of those 419. We don't service the creative and visual performing arts because we only have so much money that the state's allocating for all this, and we give it to the IQ and the specific subject kids who are getting excelled within the academic fit range, okay? We don't have, nobody does service every kid that's identified in every way. It's just it's an employee you pay for, and it's a money situation. States never come up with all the money needed. We have 24, oh, there you go. We have seniors, 49. You can see that breakdown of how many are identified in every grade. We have 24 kids who are grade accelerated, meaning they've skipped a whole grade. They're up a grade for some reason, somewhere between K and 12.
Is that in addition to the 419?
That's up the four, they have to be identified first. So they're
okay, so they're part of that, just to break down.
24 of those are grade
okay.
accelerated, yep. 69 are subject accelerated, meaning they're mainly in math, but language arts or math are the two that we do that in, and mainly most of them are in math. So we have a lot of bright kids moving up. And then we had two early entrants to kindergarten last summer. So every week, like April, we have our kindergarten meeting. We'll have a group of parents that want their child to be tested. I will do all the testing. They have to go through two different kinds of tests and protocol. If they're in, they're in, they're, you know, in, blah, blah, and they get to go. So last year, I think it was 17 or 18 tested and two made it. It's very rigorous to get into the kindergarten. It's more rigorous to get in than the kids who are of age. If you're of age of kindergarten, you get to go. Well, we don't let that happen because we want them to be at the very top. We want them to go through 12 years of school at the top, not dragging the bottom and be miserable for the next 12 years. So it's our policy and it works well. Okay. So those are the stats that you have. I want to share something with you that we've been working on.
Tammy, quick question.
Yes.
Total serve 350, you don't do the arts, so that's 353. The other 66, so they just choose not to participate of
there
the total
some
four?
Some do not, yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Other questions? Okay, so one thing that we're working on this year that we're actually getting done, and we're putting it into place starting next year. I've been talking about the word grit with Mr. Pfeiffer starting a long time ago, and Mr. Quigg, and Jennifer. And grit, because in the older days, kids who had brains and wanted to be something, and parents who were behind them, and it was what you did. You were serious, you went to school, you did your academics, and you achieved. There's been a huge change in either parenting or motivation or whatever. I don't have the answer. I just know that our gifted kids are lacking grit. And if our gifted kids are lacking grit, can you imagine what some of the others are lacking? And in the fourth grade, we have always given out this evaluation tool that talks about higher order thinking, creativity, task commitment, social emotional growth. It's what we've always done at the fourth grade. We give that out, and it's a checkbox, and it's a four that you constantly can see that being done in class, or Robin sees that frequently, or occasionally, or rarely, okay? And our parents, every semester, this is a big part of elementary gifted. But then we stopped doing it. We never gave this kind of a tool out for fifth through eighth grade. And I've been saying, we need a grit grade card. How many people have heard me? We need a grit grade. I want to make this big, I want to make this deal. But here I had it in my hand the whole time for fourth grade. So we got together our GT staff and we said, why don't we enhance it? We can make this good for fourth through eighth grade gifted. We've added a few more, here I am holding them, taking tests. We've added a few more check boxes, a few more tasks that we as teachers of the gifted are looking for. And we have decided that starting next year, with a little more tweak, we have to scooch over on the front. You can see where the creativity is running off the edge there. And when we get done with this, we plan to give it out next year all fourth through eighth grade, not just fourth grade. And if you'll look at those attributes of what it says, we are, you know, we are talking to the parents about their child's grit, basically, is what we're talking about. Not only do they like finish what they start, but let me point out a few of them. So under higher order thinking, that would, most of all, that is about the same. You're independently seeking sufficient knowledge. You're willingly attempting higher order thinking. You understand and consider new ideas. Not just spoon-fed, right? You're coming up with, oh, this might lead this, this leads to that. Those are pretty standard. Task commitment, you understand what those are. We added, exemplifies tenacity by accepting challenging tasks and attempting to resolve them, even when faced with frustration and setbacks. Because our kids want to go, whoop, quit, done, don't know how, can't get an A. If I can't get an A, I don't want to do it. So we've got to knock that out of them. Things like puts forth effort necessary for results of quality and depth. So they want to just put forth as little as effort as possible sometimes. That's not what the real world wants. When you go over to the creativity, those are very standard. Creative scales will come up with those, that's just what they are. Original, fluent, flexible, elaborates, and demonstrates risk-taking. But down in the social and emotional growth, we've added a few like develops behavioral strategies to manage traits for giftedness, perfectionism, elitism, anxiety, expectations of others, and takes risks by accepting challenges outside of their comfort zones. So we've only added a few to our fourth grade, what we always had, but we feel it's really going to apply, and I think it's a great tool that Leanne is going to be able to use. Not only Jackie, she'll use it, but Leanne, because I go to meeting and conference after conference where the parents basically saying, hey, my kid's playing soccer, or my kid's doing this, or my kid's doing that. And boy, you want a lot, and boy, and here it is. This is what we expect. This is what it takes to produce. We want your child to be, like we've already graduated. We already have degrees and we have jobs and we're getting old. We want your child to be all they can be. So we're gonna tackle grit in a very small way, and I'm really excited about that. So any questions about that?
So you'll have, each your teacher will fill this out each semester on each of their kids?
Yep.
Fourth grade too?
Yep.
Third grade?
Yep, that starts with me.
Okay, you'll do it for third graders?
Yep.
Which is what you do?
Yep, and then we can have them send it back, so if you look at the bottom, they have to...
Just like the old time grade cards,
yes,
I mean, it's very similar.
Send it back, and then we'll keep it, and we'll
yep.
send it back to
yep.
you again, and it
yep.
won't be electronic, and it won't be anything. It's something that we have in our hand, and we can sit down and counsel, because they can see all the rubrics, you know, everything's online. We want to have it face-to-face with this, because some of this matters more than what grade they receive in a class, quite frankly. Okay, that's my gifted report, and I just want one more thing, if I may. The mm-hmm. CHAPA Alumni Association, we're having a fundraiser this year because we haven't had one since the circus about 4 years ago, so it's time for more funds, and we're going to have a golf scramble, which I don't golf, nor have I ever been to a scramble, but we're going to pull this off, and I just want you to take one. On the front is the scramble, on the back is the groove on the green. We've changed the groove in the grove to the groove on the green. It's all at Eagle Landing on the same day, golf in the afternoon, party at night. Eagle Landing, May instead of fall. We're not going to fight the football games on Saturday night anymore, and we hope that we can get some teams. I'm getting companies and people and everybody to give me, you know, stuff, but I need teams. If anybody up here loves to golf, please get a team. Any questions for me? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you, Tammy. No. Great job, Tammy. Thank you very much.
Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. Are there any items that members of the board wish to pull from the regular meeting consent agenda? Hearing none, a motion is needed. Second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Moving on to new business, a transportation contract. We need a motion to enter into a transportation contract with the following for the 18-19 school year. The DeMora family of Quail Drive to transport her children to and from St. Ursula and St. Francis.
So moved.
Second? Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Donations. We need a motion to accept the following donations. H&R Block donated approximately $250 in school supplies to Star Elementary and a $250 gift card for use in Sarah Garand's classroom. The Clay High Alumni and Friends Association, or CHAFA, donated $500 to the Care Clay's Closet.
You said it correctly.
And the Bay Area Credit Union donated hygiene supplies to the Clay Cares Closet. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Can I just say something real quick?
Please
about
do.
Clay Cares? That's getting a lot of momentum, so I certainly want to appreciate Tammy and CHAFA for that with Clay and what they're doing for kids. And Mr. Zavitsky with Mercy has a ton of food supplies that they're going to donate on Thursday. So next month you'll see another one. But, I mean, Clay Cares is catching on. And obviously the need is there, and we can't thank these people enough, and especially with a little bit of the cash where they can maybe go hand select what kids need. So thank you for that. That's really awesome. And to the teachers that are running that.
That goes through the counselor's office, is that what?
Yeah, I believe so. Brandy Burr and Jennifer Collerick head that up.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Okay. Roll call. Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Item C, disposal of equipment and materials. We need a motion to dispose of the following. 54 green boys track uniforms, 67 yellow girls track uniforms, 14 sets of green and white soccer jerseys, 29 sets of yellow and white soccer jerseys. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Item D, land use agreement. We need a motion to enter into an agreement between the Oregon City School District and Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees for the use of the John F. Kennedy Park grounds located at 9501 Jerusalem Road. The agreement is a one-year term, which is renewable for an additional year for the rental fee of $1.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Al, can you just give a few words on that?
Yeah, you know, it's ironic because right before Joe Kiss passed, maybe a month before that, I saw him at his store, and he said, we have this idea, Jerusalem Township, to partner with the schools on this park, this land. And he said, "Yeah, well, let's get together and we'll talk about it," and didn't really know what he had in mind. So, you know, and then obviously, unfortunately, Joe passed, and then we received a call one day from Bo Miller, another township trustee, kind of picking up that, I guess, torch and running with the idea. So Dean and I went out and met with him and looked at this park, and they really wanted our staff, our interested teachers, to benefit from this land in whatever way they chose to. So Ben has been working with Meredith, our ag teacher, along with Mr. Sandwich, and kind of talking through ideas. So we're not sure what those ideas are going to lead to, but there's a lot of enthusiasm from what I understand, and Ben could probably tell you more about the specifics of maybe some of his ideas, but you know, it's worth the partnership, and our only cost is a dollar and maybe a sign. We're maybe put up a sign, a partnership sign out there, you know, behind the land, and there's a lot of opportunities. It's Meredith's backyard and, you know, the township. So I think it's a good idea. We'll see what it can do for kids. It's all about kids, you know, taking advantage of something special out there maybe.
Any other questions?
Dean, comments? Anything else you want to add or anything? I mean, it's, or Ben?
Ben, anything? Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it.
Good question. How much land are we talking about? 5 acres? 3? I mean, how much?
About 16.
16?
Roughly that.
Just question.
Usable what we produce about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just
to. Familiar with the ditch that runs right into the school?
Yeah.
And the Yondo Road that runs perpendicular to it. The property basically goes from Route 2 all the way to that street.
Yeah. I know where it is. I just didn't know how much it was.
We'll take a drive out there and show it. Yeah, it's
I just don't. I can't.
It's Kennedy Park.
Yeah.
Kennedy
That's
Park.
Totally
John F. Kennedy Park. So it's John Kennedy Park.
John F. Oh, there's an F still, isn't there?
No.
I think
it might be F.
I think it is.
Yeah, I did not know that, so I appreciate that clarification, because no one's told me that story. I mean, I guess I never asked, but.
So we're ready for roll call.
Yeah, I guess a vote.
All right. Mr. Shea.
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky.
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar.
Yes. Item E, the North Point Educational Service Center contract. We need a motion to approve for the fiscal year 2020 a contract with North Point Educational Service Center and to approve the amount of $495,000 to be deducted from the state foundation payments. These are things like for our preschool, OT, and PT, yep. And special any other special services.
Purchase services.
May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call?
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Item F, policies. The following policies have been reviewed and revised and are being presented for their first reading. A recommendation for adoption will be in April. Those are online. Item G, Mercy Health Lease Agreement. We need a motion to approve the Mercy Health Lease Agreement. A copy of this agreement was previously distributed to the board. May I have a motion, please?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call?
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Abstain.
Abstain. And Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Disposal of equipment, item H. The items approved for disposal at the February 19th board meeting have been disposed of in accordance with board policy. And moving to the superintendent's report.
Yep. Thank you, Mrs. Molnar. A couple quick things here. I know we got a lot to talk about here as we move forward, but do want to congratulate Carol and Molnar. She was attended with Mrs. Miller down at the Northwest Region OSBA conference and was recognized formally for her 10 years of service on the Board of Education. So I think we're all grateful for what Carol does, leading this board, leading myself, leading the district. Participating in so many things, so I just wanted to again congratulate you. I know she was congratulated at that event, but thank you, Carol, for everything you do for us. I sent out an email earlier. If you have some ideas about the public opinion survey, I would like to make that an annual thing. We did that around this time a year ago. So if you have some different ideas, I sent you out the draft of what we did last year. We can certainly tweak it a little bit if there's some other ideas or topics we would like to get input on, so I'm open to that. My goal is to get that out here the first week of April, take that month, 3 weeks, whatever, to gather the information, and then we'll have the results here by the end of the school year. I do want to bring to your attention something kind of exciting that started today. So very thankful for the hard work of Mr. Jersky and others at Clay High School. You know, mental health services are always something that are I'll put it this way, it's something on my mind that needs to be addressed at all our buildings, but how to address it is still a struggle. The best way, the right way, how many people, you know, I mean, we can add all kinds of people, but we're starting it in a small way, but a pretty powerful way. Amy Drescher is a clinical psychologist. She's a PhD, and she connected with Mr. Jersky through Mercy. And through basically, I don't know if any of you were at, we had a opioid night here at Clay that wasn't ultimately super successful in terms of people coming to the opioid night. We had a panel of about 8 to 10 people. Yes. But what it led to was a lot of connections for us. And one of those connections led Mr. Jersky to connect with Amy Drescher. And Amy, passion is mental health. So she works and supervises multiple psychology doctoral students from both our local universities. Those individual students are certified trained at a level that they can provide services to kids under her direction, supervision. They started today and they're going to be here. Nate, maybe you know, I don't know how many days, 3 days maybe, 2 to 3 days. Maybe you're not involved with that all that much. But it's 2 to 3 days, and hopefully our goal by next year is kind of a pilot spring that it'll be every day. Working with kids that the counselors recommend need some extra attention. At this point, there is no direct cost to us. Billing through Amy's company is directly through the insurance companies or Medicaid for those kids. There are some kids that don't fall in either one of those categories that we're talking through. We're looking for some grants. We might partner with Mercy. We might have some options. We may, and maybe something that I bring to the board, that we say we want to set aside a tad bit of money to help support mental health services for those kids that don't fit in a category to cover it. We'll see kind of how it goes with the types of kids that are getting.
The governor's budget actually is giving us a little
yes,
bit of money.
Yes, I saw that.
I mean, I'll hold my breath. It has to get through everything yet, but that actually could maybe
yes,
help facilitate
absolutely.
This.
Good point. I'm glad you brought that up. I did read that about the governor's budget, so you know we'll see. That would be a wonderful
yeah,
addition and certainly a need in our schools. So anyways, very excited about that. We'll keep you. Like I said, today was the first day, and they were in the room working with kids. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we want to see. And just lastly, you know, we're pretty excited about our new chef here at Clay High School and the opportunity she's bringing. I saw her today, and we were just chatting. She said, hey, would you like some cookies for the board meeting? So help yourself on your way out if you haven't had one on your way in. But Chef Andy, too, at some point, probably not this year, we'll let her get her feet wet, but next year would like to host something for the board. So we'll kind of talk through what that might be. Maybe it's a luncheon one day. Maybe it's a dinner before or after one of our meetings or something. I don't know. She's open to it. She thinks it would be neat. She's very much open to doing new and different things on behalf of the kids and behalf of us. So that's my report.
And I want to piggyback on this spring conference that Heather and I went to. One of our former students, Heidi Bench Meyer, was recognized and got the Community Service Award for all of Northwest Ohio. So that's pretty neat. She graduated. Well, she teaches in Elmwood. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Okay. Any old business? Okay, board committee reports. Finance?
No report.
Capital improvements, health and safety?
No report.
Policy personnel, you have your new policies and we had a couple of retirements, but they will be filled by moving people around, and we do have a couple of openings.
Yep, and okay. I guess maybe now might be an okay to just insert this real quick. There were some questions about the non-public transportation payment in lieus that we've kind of gone back with our previous policies about, you know, when does a parent need to request and so forth. We spoke today, Mr. Sandwich and I spoke today with Pete Jabitsky, who's the guru of transportation, has been for a long, long time through the OSBA legal hotline that we have access to. And he talked us through the law changes back in 2017, but gave us a great suggestion that I think we're going to embed into the policy with board support. Essentially, what we're going to say is when a student enrolls in one of these community schools, STEM schools, or private schools, they need to request transportation from us within 30 days. And he said, so does that make sense? So whether they move in, let's say if they start the year with us, they have 30 days from that first day to enroll. If it's after that 30 days, we're not, per policy, we wouldn't honor the request. They have to request transportation. So if they moved in December, they would have 30 days from whenever they enrolled. And they said basically on our end, we would just need to communicate our policy with the schools that this would be affected, and then it's on them to share that information with the family.
So it's on the school?
Yes.
Okay.
So we learned a lot.
You would have to provide it to all of the schools around the area. You would have to provide them our policy. Is that what you're saying when you say it's
yes, the
school?
Policy. Yeah, the ones that
send them the policy, and if they don't inform their students,
it's on them.
Then it's
yep. As long as we have documentation that we did that annually. At least that's the advice, right? And if I missed anything, that it was pretty simple. It was great advice, logical, kind of solves the whole issue in my mind. So I think that's what will be recommended to you next month in that policy.
Sounds good to me.
All right, awesome.
Okay, academic.
I'll save you from listening to Brew Off tonight, so I'll report.
<You're good.
coughs> Legislative?
No report.
Student achievement, no report. Board discussion.
Kale?
Yes.
I had Dean and Hal out to meet with Craig Albers, president of St. Charles. We kind of a quarterly update, just to get together, meet, and figure out how we can partner, Mercy can partner with Oregon Schools on, you know, the behavioral health issues, providing jobs or summer jobs or some internships or some other sort of resume building and stuff, jobs, paid jobs there. A lot of it stemmed from a sponsorship of the scoreboard, which is leased, that the school, if I get this wrong, Dean, let me know. Essentially, we would, our little logo we have there, which isn't very big, the school gets a couple dollars of it. And it's like a $15,000 sponsorship. So, you know, we're passing on that because we want to do something that goes right to the school. So, you know, we're in the early stages, but there's a lot of options of having Mercy have a bigger presence, I'll say, at the football field and the gymnasiums. You know, we're just not sure how that would look yet, but we're kind of just taking that Mercy Oregon Schools relationship and, I guess, making it bigger and better and stronger.
Yep. And I agree. It was a good meeting, good discussion, a lot of ideas. We will certainly do anything that's kind of large scale like that. We'll certainly keep the board informed, and so you're not surprised by anything. But it kind of, what happens is on the front of the scoreboard there's a private company that owns that and sells that ad space on the other side, not the side with the big green Clay Memorial Stadium, but on the clock side, the actual football side or the score side. So when they were reached out, Mercy took advantage of that 3-4 years ago, whatever it was. So they approached us saying, well, maybe we can do something a little different. So that's awesome. No, very, can't thank Mercy enough for everything they're doing on behalf of Oregon City Schools. It's been wonderful.
Anybody else?
Did we get any feedback on the job fair at Clay? I know I saw quite a few kids. I didn't know if anyone got
Teen job fair?
Yeah. How that went, or if we had any feedback.
Nate, you up to speed on any of those stats? So what yeah.
I was there. Yeah.
They were really a little worried that they weren't going to get the type of attendance that they thought, but at the end of the day, they did get over 100 folks, 100 kids that came and felt like the people that were there to participate, according to the counselor that I talked to, that it was valuable, and that it was valuable to those kids. How many, I don't know how many actually connected, you know.
The traffic was pretty good.
But yes, so from my third hand assessment was pretty positive that I heard. And I was not also able to make it for prior commitments. But yeah, I think, you know what, the great thing about Clay and Oregon Schools, we take a lot of risks and try some of these new things. You know, you never know how it's going to go till you try it once. And they took a risk. This was something we had never done. They got a lot of advertising out of it. And we had kids from other school districts from the area. It wasn't just Clay kids. Oh, yeah. We had kids from other school districts come over. And
100 participating is pretty good,
yeah,
for the first time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Well, and it was, I thought it was organized well. I mean, they did it. If you put sign in, they give you the sheet to let you know age appropriate. You go to this booth if you're this age.
Yeah.
And so they would know not to waste their time if they weren't old enough to go to this booth.
Right, if there were requirements at that business.
But it was very well organized, but I thought it was a good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm proud of it. I mean, let's put it out there to help our kids. That's what it's about. So.
We have Seussical this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it's great. Is that right, Mike?
I went and saw the one act that they gave at Eisenhower today, and it was very good.
Good. Kindergarten registration is April 10th. That's prior to our next board meeting. That's in Clay High Auditorium and Gym. Auditorium first and then the gym. The Polaris Conference, if you want to go, the 26th and 27th, we'll have to let Carol know,
mm-hmm,
so she makes reservations. I have nothing else. Executive session. Need a motion to go into executive session? Oh, let's go down and say April 16th is our next meeting. And we will dismiss from executive session. So may I have a motion for executive session, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
And it is for the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of an employee or official, or the investigation of charges, and so forth. Preparing for or conducting and reviewing negotiations and matters to be required to be kept confidential. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Appreciate it. Mr. Pfeiffer, I appreciate all your input on that Jerusalem project.
Yeah.
Can we have roll call on the exec session? Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mr. Zviski?
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Thank you.